Welcome to Treasures Old and New from ART. Hi, I'm Joy Jackson. We fell in love with a lost show from the days of old-time radio called Charter Flight. One of our actors, Ken Leese, wrote a Christmas sequel called Destination North Pole. And we performed this at one of ART's Christmas parties, where we broadcast to Lexington a show and they broadcast one back to us. Here's Destination North Pole.
American Radio Theater brings you a holiday confection for ART's Christmas party. It's episode 2 of Charter Flight, Destination North Pole, based on an old-time radio series, Charter Flight, written by Gus C. Bays. Episode 2 is written by Ken Leese.
NC-2481 to Midway Tower. NC-2481 to Midway Tower, over.
Tower to NC-2481, over.
NC-2481, requesting clearance on flight plan number 283 for Honolulu, over.
Roger, NC-2481, you are cleared to Honolulu. Have a nice flight, over.
Give her the gun, Dietz. Honolulu, here we come. Again.
Wilco, Tony.
Charter Flight, starring Tony Barrett.
Well, Dietz and I were in the air again, just like we liked it. The Dutch Harbor trip had been a bust that netted our little company just enough to cover our expenses for the trip, and left us with the lingering smell of whale oil in the cargo compartment. With Midway well behind us, Dietz and I had tuned in a Honolulu radio station, which made for a very pleasant flight. We had even found a little business to take along. A professor and his lady friend who had missed a connection in Hong Kong, but could still make their stateside flight from Honolulu if we could get them there on time. With the fall winds at our back, we should do that just fine. And since we were going to be flying empty anyway, it was nice to pick up a few coins on the way. I knew our stay in Hawaii was going to be short, though. Dietz was anxious to get home to his girl Lily, who was patiently, Dietz's word, waiting for him in San Francisco, our base of operations. We also wanted to get home in time to get in on some of the Christmas package rush, which was starting to turn into good business for little operations like ours. With Thanksgiving behind us, it was time to head stateside. Plus, we were going to need some downtime to figure out what was wrong with our number 2 engine. After our last fuel stop, I could already smell the hibiscus as Dietz flew us towards our destination.
So, Tony, got any plans for Christmas?
Yeah, find a bar that's open and drink until New Year's.
What? No big family gathering?
My dad died in World War I, my mom in 38. I am an only child, and my only known living relative is Aunt Gertrude, who lives down in Florida. I haven't spoken to her since the war started, except for an occasional letter. The Army was my family for a long time, and we both know how big they are on celebrating holidays.
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas, boys. Your objective for today is...
How about you, Dietz? You have a pretty big family. Any plans?
Not this year. We had a big blowout in 45 with the end of the war and all. You know, all the aunts, uncles, cousins, my brothers and sisters, their kids, mom, dad, apple pie. Even Granny made it for that one. Nope. This year it will just be me and Lily waiting for Santa Claus.
Santa Claus? Come on, Dietz. You don't believe in that old fairy tale.
Well, sure I do. It's what keeps me young at heart. Don't you remember getting presents from the jolly old guy?
Frankly, I don't remember getting much in the way of Christmas presents at all.
I'm truly sorry to hear that, Tony. You miss out on a lot by not believing in Santa Claus.
I believe in hard truths, Dietz. Army taught me that. Right now, I believe I better tell the professor and Marion to get ready for landing.
Here we are, Tony, safe and sound, just like I promised.
That you did, but I didn't think the landing would be quite so bumpy.
Give me a break, man. You know how the air currents coming off the ocean are.
Yeah, I'll give you that. But they're much warmer here than in Frisco.
Are we just going to drop our passengers off at the admin building?
Yeah, they have plenty of time before their next flight. I don't see the Clipper anywhere. While we're here, why don't you track down some engine oil? Number 2 seems to be using up quite a bit lately.
I'll do that. Well, there's a cable in the supply shack. I can send Lily a message while I'm here.
Just don't charge it to the company this time. After we stopped, I escorted our passengers to the office so they could find out where their next flight was. Then I checked in with the office manager, Jerry Gaffer, an old Army buddy of mine who ended up liking the islands more than he liked the idea of going home.
Hey, Tony, how was the flight? I saw you get caught in that beach air. Wow. Up and down and up.
That was Dietz. Other than his Goonie Bird landing, the flight was good.
I saw you had a couple of passengers. Anybody special?
I don't know about special, but they were certainly interesting. The guy was a professor of archaeology. Name was Dr. Henry Jones Jr. or something. Had some good stories, though. Just a hunch, but I'd say he may have been OSS during the war. The gal was Marion Ravens somebody or other. I hate to be on the wrong side of her in an argument.
Yeah, she looked like a spark plug.
Boy, can she play cards. And holds her liquor like you wouldn't believe.
Say, Tony, were you guys planning on lambing out of here right away?
Yeah, pretty quick. I want to get back stateside, grab some of that Christmas package money I keep hearing about.
Good, because I got a gentleman with an interesting cargo that's in a hurry to get home, if you guys think you can manage it.
Why do I get the feeling I'm being set up for something here?
The guy's name is Lucas Nast. Not exactly sure what he does, but he has a weird-looking deer that he's moving for the Honolulu Zoo.
Oh, brother.
Oh, he's a nice enough old guy, but he seems to be in an awful hurry. Can you help him out?
Well, it's not like I have any other great plans, and I can't make money watching surfers. Let me talk to Dietz, and I'll let you know.
Thanks, Tony. I'll grab Mr. Nast and let him know I found him a taxi.
Brother.
Hey, Tony, I got the oil, and I got a wire through to Lily. Hey, look, buddy, I know you were hoping to spend some time in the surf, but do you think...
Way ahead of you, Dietz. Jerry here had a fare. If you're agreeable, we'll skip our tropical layover and head back to the mainland.
Hiya, Dietz. Tony, this is the guy I was telling you about. Mr. Nast, Tony Bennett.
Captain Barrett, it's a pleasure to see you.
Hello, Mr. Nast. Please call me Tony. Captain Barrett is what the Army called me. This is my co-pilot slash mechanic, Carl Dietz.
Aloha, Mr. Nast.
Nice to see you, Carl, but please call me Lucas.
Okay, Lucas. Welcome aboard. Now, where's this cargo of yours?
I'm having some of the boys bring it out. I presume you can handle a crated animal.
If it doesn't mind sharing space with some leftover blubber, shouldn't be a problem.
I know this is short notice, but I really am in a bit of a hurry to get home. It's a rather a busy time of year for me.
What is it that you do, Mr. Lucas?
I'm an import-export, Tony, but mainly I'm a toy distributor.
You should be good at that. You look like Santa Claus.
Yes, I get that a lot. I think it actually helps in my line of work.
Excuse me, gents. I have some forms for Mr. Nast to initial. And then I'm off to start my Christmas shopping. You'd never believe how hard it is to find a couple of surfboards this time of year.
Who are you buying for? I know you're not much for the water.
Well, you're right about that. I found a place that houses war orphans from the islands. There's a few boys who would like surfboards for Christmas.
Surfboards.
I'm sorry, did you say something, Lucas?
Oh, no, just making a mental note to myself. Ah, here comes Comet.
Comet?
My reindeer. You can't have a reindeer without a good name.
Comet the reindeer. Why doesn't he just fly himself home?
Because it's not Christmas. That's the only time he can fly.
Oh, right. First a guy with the nickname Indiana, now this guy. Oy. Okay, let's get loaded up and get on our way. The mainland beckons. Where in the States are we headed, Lucas?
Oh, I don't wish to go to the States. I need to go to Alaska.
Alaska? It's getting close to winter. Why would anyone want to head that way now? Besides, we were just in Dutch Harbor.
Did I mention he was willing to pay $5,000?
Well, that might change a few things.
$5,000? That would look nice, Tony.
All right, we'll do it. Where exactly in Alaska are we going, Lucas?
Fairbanks.
Fairbanks? Oh, brother. We got Mr. Nast and his crated animal loaded up, and we're soon pointed towards the west coast. We'd have to go that way, since the forecast winds would put everything else out of reach. Dietz had the wheel, so I took the time to chat with our passenger.
How did you and Carl end up flying together, Tony?
We were in the war together. He was the chief mechanic of our unit, and we became good friends during some, sticky situations.
Oh, like the Japanese bombardment of Bikini Atoll on Christmas Day?
How did you know about that? That was top secret.
I have my own sort of top secret clearance, Tony. Besides, the war is over. Some things are now declassified.
True, but still.
It's unusual for an enlisted man and an officer to become friends, isn't it?
I don't know. I never really stood on that ceremonial stuff. I've always relied on enlisted men to get things done right. Waiting for an officer often meant you were waiting for a long time.
I understand. I, too, like to direct my business from the front, as it were. I'm curious. What was or is your favorite airplane to fly, Tony?
Hadn't really thought about it. Why do you ask?
I'm in the toy business. Come Christmas, children all over are going to want toys. Since the Allies won World War II, many of those children still want toy planes flown by the heroes of the war. I just want an insider's view of what kind of plane they would like.
Oh, yeah, of course. Though I wouldn't call myself a hero.
Nevertheless, the children do look up to you and your brethren, Captain.
Well, I flew a few different models, but I think my favorite would be one my unit didn't even have. The F-4U.
Ah, yes, the Corsair. Good airplane, that. I wouldn't be surprised if those didn't become the stars of a TV show at some point. Go on.
Stars of a TV show? What? Anyway, I've actually really become attached to old Rosie here, even though she's just a cargo plane.
Rosie? But of course. I understand that every good ship should have a name. How did you come up with Rosie?
Dietz, actually. He was tinkering with the number 2 engine, again, and found the name scrawled under the cowling.
I sense a good story here. Go on.
Well, I guess whoever put this bird together knew it wasn't going to be seeing combat, but wanted to lift some morale anyway. Inside the cowling was scrawled the words, "Give 'em hell, boys. Love, Rosie. Rosie the Riveter." Since Dietz and I were both ex-Army Air Corps, we figured it was a fitting tribute to our surplus C-47, and the name stuck.
C-47? Ah, yes, the military designation for a DC-3.
Say, you're pretty sharp on those details.
Like I said, Tony, it's important in my line of work.
Lucas seemed like a likable fellow, if just a little odd. I had to agree that he could pass for department store Santa any day of the week, but there seemed something different about him. I had gone back to my sleep and was daydreaming about a certain hula girl I knew.
Tony, we got a problem here.
What's up? Uh-oh.
Yeah, it was slowly losing pressure. Now it's starting to drop like a rock from Gibraltar.
Do you think it's the same gasket? Number 2 hadn't been that bad.
From the way this thing is acting, I'm not sure there's any gasket left.
This is not good. How far are we from the shipping line?
I make it an hour flying time, if we have an hour.
Okay, I'll get on the radio and start a mayday. You better get back and tell Mr. Nast it may get a little wet soon.
Mr. Nast? Mr. Nast? Wake up, please.
Oh, yes. What is it, Carl?
Mr. Nast, I don't want to alarm you, but we're having trouble with the number 2 engine. Big trouble. And we're most likely going to have to ditch, land, in the ocean. It'll be fine for us, but I'm afraid we won't be able to take Comet with us.
I understand, Carl, but I have complete confidence in both you and Tony. I'm sure you'll be able to make things right. And please, call me Lucas.
Sure, yeah. Well, I better get back up front. We have a little while before we get down, but you may want to make sure you're buckled in good and tight. How's it going?
Couldn't raise anybody on the radio, but hopefully somebody at least heard us. Good thing we kept the life raft, although I just don't like the thought of having any of our passengers going down, even if they have hooves.
Yeah, but I don't think we're going to find any turkey dinners way out here.
Let's worry about getting down first. It's not bad up here, but the Pacific can be a bear this time of year. How's number 2 doing?
Looks like she's leaking. Want me to shut her down?
Yeah, let's save as much as we can for number 1 and see how far we can get. With any luck...
Hey, Tony, wait! Now there's nothing coming out of number 2.
What? How can that be? On the other hand, she's got a little more oomph right now. Check the gauge.
Pressure's coming back up. I swear, a minute ago there was a steady stream coming out of her. Now she looks like she was, well, just mounted in the factory.
Well, I'm not the one to count my turkeys too early, but keep your fingers crossed she'll hold up to the coast.
Is everything okay, boys?
What? Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, everything's fine now, Mr. Nast. I didn't mean to scare you a minute ago, but whatever the problem was seems to have gone away.
Yeah, she's downright peppy just now.
Well, that's good. I think I'll get back to my nap now, then. And call me Chris.
Whatever you say, Mr. Nast.
First Lucas, and now Chris? I really didn't want to know. Engines don't just fix themselves, and the way number two was acting, I thought sure we were going for a swim. However, it resolved itself. I was glad it did, and we made San Francisco with no more problems. Curiously, though, when we inspected the engine, it really did look like it had just come off the assembly line, although Rosie was still enshrined in it.
I think Mr. Nast used some of his Christmas magic.
Christmas magic? Oh, come on. Surely you don't believe Mr. Lucas had anything to do with it. Or do we call him Chris?
Yeah, I'm just saying, it was right after I told him about the problem that it just, poof, disappeared.
You and your Christmas. Come on, Dietz, aren't you a little old to believe in that stuff?
You're never too old to believe in good, Tony.
Okay, Dietz, you keep your beliefs. I believe I'm going to go file a flight plan to get us to Alaska. Only it didn't turn out to be Fairbanks, at least not right away. Just as I was filing the flight plan for Fairbanks, Mr. Nast came running up.
Tony, wait a minute. I really need to make a stop in Anchorage. I've got someone I need to pick up there. Please.
Okay, Mr. Nast, it's your dime. Dietz, let's change the destination Anchorage.
Okay, Tony.
I've got to send some telegrams. Where can I do that?
Telegram office is on the other side of the lobby.
We landed without a problem in Anchorage. There wasn't even any fog around for a change. Mr. Nast bounded out the door the minute we stopped and was back on board telling us that there was another animal crate to load. We loaded it and took off before the weather had a chance to change its mind.
You know what's in that crate we picked up in Anchorage, Skipper?
I'll break your arm if you tell me it's a reindeer.
Another one of them deer.
You've got to be kidding. I suppose this one is called Prancer.
How did you know?
Never mind. The rest of the trip to Fairbanks was uneventful. Even the skies were clear and friendly, which was highly unusual for this time of year in these latitudes. Once we landed, though, things really started to get weird. So why Fairbanks, Lucas? Seems to be quite a bit out of the way for a toy distributor.
Oh, we're actually located in North Pole, which is located just outside Fairbanks.
Oh, brother.
You don't make all the toys here, do you, Mr. Nast?
Call me Lucas. No, not all of them, but a good portion are made here.
Must be quite an operation. You wouldn't happen to need any air service delivery, would you?
Thanks, Tony, but no. I have a very good delivery service in-house. But I do have a friend in California with some goats that need to go to Lexington, Kentucky. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must be getting off to my office. An associate of mine will be along shortly to pick up the deer and to settle our debt. Good day, gentlemen, and thank you very much for a wonderful flight.
Well, you're welcome, Lucas. Fly with us anytime. Wow, how about that old bird? I expect he's way up there in years, but he certainly walks with a spring in his step. Hope I'm in that good a shape when I
get to... Don't forget the twinkle in his eye.
Oh, brother.
Are you Barrett?
Yes, I'm Tony... hello?
Down here, flyboy.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. I didn't see
you. Yeah, very funny. Shorts, part of the game, isn't it?
A big pardon. Didn't mean to offend you, Mr.
Call me Bernard. My name's Bernard, but you can call me Bernard.
Okay. Hello, Bernard. My name's...
Yeah, I know. You're Carl, but everyone calls you Dietz. You're on the nice list.
Well, it's nice to know I'm on somebody's nice list.
Funny, Dietz. Can we help you, Bernard?
Yeah, I'm here to get Comet. Where is he?
You'd better take Prancer as well.
Prancer's here, too. Oh, goody.
They should be in those two crates by the plane. Mr. Nast said they'd be okay in there till someone came to get them. Guess that'd be you.
Who's it? Oh, right, yeah, Mr. Nast, right, yeah. Okay, now once we're loaded, you can drive the truck over...
Drive? Sorry, Bernard, nobody mentioned anything about us driving anywhere. We fly the loads, not drive them.
I assume you know how to drive as well as fly. After all, you can't fly when you're on the ground.
Well, yeah, but we thought that you...
Does it look like I could reach a gas pedal with these legs? Come on, it's not far. The truck is over in Hangar 2. The contract said you would transport and deliver them. Now, which one of you flyboys can drive a truck?
I guess that's going to be me. Tony, go talk nice to them, dear.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a block and tackle on the truck, plus a ramp to load the crates.
Yeah, it'd be kind of nice to see where you guys work.
See? Of course you can't see. Nobody can see. You'll drop us off at the front gate.
Okay. No need to get your lederhosen in a wad.
Very funny. Can we go now, Flyboy?
Lead the way, Bernard. Look at the ears on that guy. I've never seen a midget with such...
Midget! Midget! Cheese and rice, I'm an elf! Flyboy, don't you forget it.
An elf? There are no such things.
A little over 50 years ago, man couldn't fly. Yet here you are, which I find amazingly hard to believe from someone who doesn't believe. Flyboy!
Hey, watch it with that Flyboy stuff, buddy, or I'll step on
Tony, you. For gosh sakes, let it go.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, Dietz. Okay, let's get this over with. We drove a ways out of Fairbanks to get to the little burg of North Pole. It looked as if an alpine village had gotten lost. There was no sign of activity, even when we came to a non-assuming gate across a snow-covered drive.
This is it. Drop us off here.
Well, don't you need help getting the deer out of the...
Already done. Here's your payment. Leave the truck at the airport. Have a nice day.
Well, how about that? You didn't have to be so short about it.
I heard that!
Come on, Dietz. Let's get back to the field. I don't like the looks of this weather. The sooner we're gone, the better I'll like it.
Sure, Tony. I'd hate to be in charge of Lucas' delivery schedule right now.
Me too. Hey, Dietz, see if you can scare up a couple cups of coffee while I file the paperwork.
Sounds good.
Sorry, Tony. No use filling out paperwork. Field's closed.
Closed? But we just came in.
That's winter in the north for you. 1 minute flyable, the next you're grounded.
Okay. How long do you figure?
Well, if the weather guys are correct, probably 3 weeks.
3 weeks? Are you kidding me? But Christmas is only a week away.
That's the way it works sometimes. Sorry.
I don't suppose there are any good hotels around.
Not really. We're not exactly the hub of vacation land up here. I might be able to find some cots for you. There's always a North Pole Hotel. It's empty this time of year.
Oh, brother.
Here's the coffee, buddy. Say, why the long face?
Dietz, how'd you like to spend Christmas in the Great White North? Huh. It was beginning to look like a bleak Christmas for Dietz and me. At this point, anything would have been better than a cot. But I hadn't planned on what we ended up with.
Paging Captain Barrett and Sergeant Dietz.
Let's go, you two. Shake a leg.
Who said that?
Down here, tall stuff.
And who are you?
I'm Winky.
So does that make the two of you Twinkie?
Watch it, Buster.
Let me guess. You're friends of Bernard's?
There ain't nothing between us, bub. Now let's get going.
Boss is impatient this time of year.
Go? Go where? And who's your boss?
Mr. Nast, of course. He felt bad that you two got stuck here. Says he feels responsible in some way.
Bernard is apoplectic about the whole situation.
Why would this bother Bernard?
Boss said to come fetch you two and bring you back to the North Pole.
Bernard is having kittens over the whole scheme.
Well, there's a bed involved. I'm all for it.
We're not that kind of elves!
Settle down. I don't think that's what he meant. We just want a nice place to wait out the weather.
Don't know how much sleep you'll be getting, seeing this is the busy season.
Plant's awfully noisy right now, but you should to be above it all.
Hey, is that a tall joke?
Only if you want it to be, Flyboy. Now let's go.
In what? The truck we drove back in apparently wandered off on its own.
Not to worry. We have a sled parked out back.
A sled? Oh, brother.
Don't worry, Buster. I know how to fly these things.
An open sled will freeze.
Here, knock back these hot cocos.
They're surprisingly good at keeping you warm.
We'll wrap you up real good.
Not only did the hot cocoa keep us warm, they knocked us out. All I remember was Tinky said something about a number four. When I came to, I was more than shocked to find myself in the middle of a very soft, very comfortable bed. The room was decked out in red and had a very Christmassy feel to it. I assumed Dietz might be in an adjoining room, and a quick knock confirmed my suspicion.
Can you believe this place?
Where the hell are we?
Cursing violation! Please deposit 5 cents in the slot under the red flashing light.
Cursing violation? What in damnation?
Another cursing violation. Please deposit another 5 cents in the slot under the red flashing light.
Better do as the voice commands, Tony. And you might want to watch your tongue.
No kidding. I might go broke for doing something I didn't even know I was doing.
Where are we, anyway?
You are in the guest quarters of the No L Incorporated.
Well, what if we don't want to be in the guest quarters? Who's in charge around here?
Someone will be with you in a moment.
Well, at least they didn't say they'd be here shortly.
Was that another short joke, Flyboy?
Bernard, how'd you get in here?
Never mind. Flyboy over here wouldn't believe me if I told him.
Now, I've just about had enough of this damn Flyboy.
Cursing violation. Please deposit 5 cents in the slot under the red flashing light.
Better do as instructed, Barrett. You don't want this to get back to the big man.
Big man? Look, short stuff, we just...
Short stuff? Okay, flyboy, that's it. You and me, right now. Let's go.
Hey, let go of my leg!
Take it easy, Bernard. Tony didn't mean anything by it.
Oh, yes, I did. First we fly reindeer all the way to the North Pole. Then we get grounded by the weather. Now we've been shanghaied by two midgets in a sleigh and wake up in whatever this is. What the dickens is going on?
Dickens? I see what you did there. That's a good one. You might be okay yet, flyboy. Although I don't think you'll be wanting to spread that M-word around much up here, especially around Winky. Look, I'm on a really tight schedule, but the boss wants you to see the place. I've arranged for someone to take you on a little tour, if you think you can suspend your version of reality for a while.
I'd suspend my version of fantasy if it'd get us some answers.
Whatever we need to do, Bernard. Tony, let's just play along so we can get out of here.
I heard that. You're not going anywhere until the boss says so. Besides, where would you go? You can't fly in this suit, that's for sure.
Okay, Bernard, we're yours. Let's get the charade over with.
Charade, he calls it. No wonder he hasn't gotten a present in years. Oh, that must be the boss lady. Come on in.
Hello, boys. I hope I'm not interrupting.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. C. These are our guests, Captain Barrett and Sergeant Dietz. Boys, this is Mrs. C.
Hello.
Nice to meet you. Please, call me Carol.
I'll leave them in your capable hands, Mrs. C. I need to get back to the floor. I understand there's an issue on the toy airplane line.
Nothing you can't fix, I hope.
Minor change. Boss wants more Corsairs and fewer Spitfires.
Well, don't let us keep you.
Thanks, Mrs. C. Have fun, boys.
I must apologize for Bernard. He gets a little worked up this time of year.
I'll say. He's wound tighter than a cat at a rocking chair convention.
Carol, I don't mean to sound rude, but Dietz and I would like some answers as to where we are, how we got here, and why.
Of course, Tony. All your questions will be answered. In time. Will you trust me on that?
I suppose we don't have much of a choice. What do you say, Tony?
Yeah, okay. Guess we can't really go anywhere anyway.
Wonderful. Now, I've arranged a tour of our facility for you. At Lucas's insistence, of course. Tinky and Winky will be your tour guides. I hope you don't mind.
Sure, why not? But if you don't mind me asking, what's your connection to all this and Mr. Nast?
Oh, I would have thought that was obvious. I'm Lucas's wife.
Okay, you two, let's get this over with.
Yeah, we have big night. We have gifts to wrap.
We're all yours, ladies.
Oh, brother. So, what are we going to see? Polar bears making toys? Penguins sending Christmas cards?
Jeez, what a
Everybody knows polar bears are working in shipping and the penguins are on guard duty.
Yeah, Tony, how come you didn't know that?
Oh, so you're going to get in on this too now, huh?
Hey, lighten up, buddy. If we're really in fantasy land, we might as well make the most of it, huh?
All of this from one cup of cocoa.
One cup of cocoa, he calls it.
Little does he know.
Well, boys, here's our first stop.
The far side. What the heck is that supposed to mean?
Open the door and find out. Twinkie and I will wait in the hallway here.
Yeah, just don't loiter too long in there.
What? Well, okay, let's go in, Tony.
Go in? I can't see my hand in front of my face in there.
Come in, boys. Don't let any of the aura out.
Well, hello. And my name is Carl Dietz.
Yes, I know who you are. And you're Tony. Pleased to meet both of you.
Hi.
Gosh, you sure are pretty for an I mean... Well,
nice out, Dietz.
Thanks, but you're not my type. Too young, I'm afraid.
Too young? Say, how old do you think I am?
I know exactly how old you are, Carl. And you, Tony. Now, what can I do for you two gentlemen?
Well, we're sort of on a tour of the facility, and we're kind of shoved into this room. I guess we're here to find out what it is you do.
What I do? Why, this is the far side. I thought it would be obvious. I look into the future to help predict trends so Mr. Nast can stay in front of the competition.
Oh, is that all? You're right. We should have known that.
Unbeliever.
Fine. Would you like me to tell you what you'll have for lunch tomorrow? No, that's too simple for my talent. Perhaps you would like to see some of the things I've come up with for future production.
Well, that'd be kind of cool. Well, say, what do we call you anyway?
My name is Esmalda, but you can call me E.
Okay, E. Let's see some of these wonders. What are these small round disc things?
Exactly that. Compact discs, or CDs for short. One day, people will use them to store immeasurable amounts of information, but mostly they'll use them to listen to music.
Uh-huh. And you guys are going to produce all these things? What do you listen to them on?
The device is yet unnamed, but a Japanese company will bring them forth a few decades from now.
A Japanese company? They just lost the war. How are they ever going to be able to come up with something like this? And why would they, if you already have it?
Here at Noel Incorporated, we don't always keep what we design. We often give some of our best ideas away to help those who could use it most. This little device will help boost the Japanese economy. And don't worry, they will become one of your strongest allies in the Pacific. Why, I can even see a Japanese store in Seattle with people waiting to get in. When they unlock the doors, the people will sing, "Uwajimaya is open! Uwajimaya is now open!"
Okay, and what else have you come up with, E? I suppose you also have a means for people to talk to each other through the air without radio, or maybe take pictures without film. How about go to the moon?
Easy, Tony. Don't get too excited.
Actually, those things are all in the pipeline. Some will just take a little longer than others. The moon thing will actually be the first thing to come around.
Oh, brother.
Within a few decades, everyone will have devices that can store the information of all the world's libraries in a very small space. People will communicate with devices no bigger than their wallets. All of the world's resources will be found in one central place and can be accessed by anyone. Of course, most people will use it to watch moving pictures of cats. I'm sorry I can't spend more time with you, but I must get back to my project. It's a product that will come out in the next century. I'm thinking of calling it the Podcast. Now get out.
Don't let her get you down. You should see her when she's in a bad mood.
She sure was something. What's in this next room?
Oh, that's the control room. It's really the hub of the operation. There's an observation area at the back where we can watch without interfering. Come on.
Hey. What are those big lists scrolling on the wall?
Those are the naughty and nice lists. Everybody knows about those.
Okay, but what's that third list? It seems to have more names than the other two. I've never heard of Santa having a third list.
That's the other list. It shows people who aren't quite sure about certain things.
Well, hey, Tony, your name's on that list.
Gee, imagine that.
And over there is where we handle incoming letters from children all over the world.
Good grief. Look at the size of that pile. You'll never get through these before Christmas.
We don't have to. Our monitoring system has already cataloged each child's desires before we even get to the letters.
That's impossible. How can anyone know what every child wants, especially before they tell you?
Still not getting the big picture, are you, Tony? Well, shall we continue our tour, shall we, boys?
Well, hey, Tony. Here's a room called coding.
May we look in there, ladies?
Sure, why not? Touring, are you here? We brought some guests for you.
Guests here? Of course. Do come in.
So, you're Mr. Turing?
Just Turing, but yes. And you must be Barrett and Dietz.
Oh, I feel like a celebrity, Tony. Everybody knows our names.
Well, cheers to that. So what is it you do in the coding room, Turing?
I code, of course. And he's the captain.
Be nice, Tour. I think he means, what do you code?
Oh, right. Well, we have a fairly large global operation going here and don't want people horning in on our racket, so to speak. So all of our communication gets coded. That's my job. Can you imagine the ruckus if some of Esmalda's visions were known to the public? Personal computers indeed.
So you come up with all the codes?
Yes, I have a way with them. Why, even the big man himself always travels under a code name, just to make sure he's not recognized on the road.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that Lucas isn't really Lucas?
Of course he's Lucas. That's just not his real name. Here's one for you. Have you ever heard of an anagram?
Well, that's a form of code, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. It's where you take the letters of a word and form another word. That's what I do for the boss.
Wait a minute. So if you rearrange the letters in Lucas Nast, you come up with...
Santa Claus!
Did somebody call?
Hi, boss!
See, Tony, I told you so.
Now, hold on. Lucas is the one and only Santa?
Better believe it, flyboy.
Hey, where'd you come from?
Never mind. Tony Barrett, meet Santa Claus, the Big C, Kris Kringle, Father Christmas, whatever you want to call him.
Just don't call me late for Christmas Eve.
Oh, there you are, dear. It's almost time for you to get ready.
Ready? Ready for what?
Why, it's Christmas Eve, of course. Time for Santa to load up the sleigh and get a move on.
Oh, hold it a sec. How can it already be Christmas Eve? We haven't been here that long.
Dietz, you've always believed in me, and now I think your friend Captain Barrett is starting to see the light as well. Allow me to let you both in on a little secret. Seeing is believing, and believing is seeing.
Huh?
The world can be a pretty cruel place sometimes, as you've both just been witness to for the last few years. People need something, or someone, that they can trust without condition, without preamble. I represent that someone.
Yeah, but it doesn't explain the time we've spent, or haven't spent, here at the North Pole.
Sometimes, in order to believe something, you have to suspend other beliefs, like your belief about how time works, or for that matter, that reindeer can or can't fly.
I think I'm starting to get it. Believing is trusting in what your gut is telling you, rather than what your eyes are showing you. Something like that?
Exactly. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have a rather pressing engagement. Merry Christmas, Dietz, Tony.
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Merry Christmas. Have a safe trip, sir.
Don't worry. The reindeer always take good care of me. Goodbye, Carol. I'll see you soon.
Goodbye, dear. Have a pleasant journey.
Goodbye, everyone. Excellent work, as usual.
Bye, Goodbye, Santa. Santa.
Well, boys, I'd say you've had rather an adventurous time of it. You understand, though, you can never tell anyone anything of what you've seen.
It won't matter. I'm pretty sure if we ever tried to convince anybody of this, Dietz and I would end up in a loony bin.
Okay, Flyboys, you need to rest up before your trip home. Here, have some of Winky's hot cocoa and hit the sack for a while. I'll make the arrangements for you to get back to Fairbanks.
What about the weather? It's still a blizzard out there, isn't it?
Frankly, I could not care less, but let us worry about that. Tinky, Winky, show our guests back to their quarters.
With pleasure!
Goodbye, boys. Have a safe flight home.
Thanks, Carol. And thanks for the eye-opener, I think.
Ever the doubter. Dietz, keep an eye on him.
Yes, ma'am.
Come on, boys. This way.
Wake up, boys. We caught a break. The weather's let up, and you guys can take off as soon as you're on the plane.
Take off? Say, what time is it?
Oh, just coming up on midnight. Not that you can really tell the difference this time of year.
Good grief. How long have we been out?
How long? What are you talking about, Tony?
How many days have we been sacked out in here? Last I remember, we were, we were waiting to go to the North Pole Hotel.
Yeah, and they're closed for the year. That's why you sacked out on my cot. It's only been a few hours. Lovely, Dove.
Only a few hours? Hey, Tony, what's...
Frank, we wouldn't by chance have a clearance, would we?
Sure, it was called in by Bernard, the guy who handles stuff for the hotel.
Really? Well, I guess we better get going then.
Tony, you sure you're okay to fly? You and Dietz look a little white.
We'll be fine. Thanks for your help. Come on, Dietz.
See you, Frank. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, guys.
Dietz, I don't know what just happened, and I don't think I want to know. Let's get out of here. What are you staring at?
Rosie. Or at least, I think that's Rosie.
Oh, my gosh. She looks brand new. Look, there's a note attached to the door.
Here, I got it. It says, Tony and Carl, it was a pleasure meeting you again. I hope you don't mind that I had my team do some upgrades on Rosie. I think you'll enjoy them. Lucas.
Oh, brother.
I don't know what they did, but Rosie is flying like a dream.
No kidding. At this rate, she'll be flying for years, probably longer than we are. I still can't figure out what happened to us back in Fairbanks, though. How can the two of us have had the same hallucination?
Maybe it wasn't a hallucination, Tony. Remember what Santa or Lucas or whoever he was said about believing?
Dietz, do me a favor and let's forget about old what's-his-name, shall we? Whatever that was, I'm sure... What the heck is that?
That sure looks like a bunch of reindeer pulling a sleigh to me, Tony.
I hate to admit it, but I think you're right.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, boys!
Merry Christmas, Santa.
Changed your mind, eh, buddy?
Like the man said, Dietz, believing is seeing.
Merry Christmas, Tony.
Merry Christmas, Carl. Now let's get the hell out of here. Oh, brother.
You have been listening to a holiday confection from American Radio Theater, Charter Flight, Operation 2, Destination North Pole. It was written by Ken Leese, based on the original Charter Flight written by Gus C. Bays, produced and directed by Joy Jackson for the 2015 ART Christmas broadcast. In our cast, you heard Ken Leese as Tony Barrett, Chuck Royalty as Carl Dietz, Kim Turner as Lucas Nast, a.k.a. Santa Claus, Greg Porter as Bernard, Beth Schlansky as Carol, Mary Moore Campagna as Tinky, Karen Leese as Winky, Bob Perks as Turing, Magpie McLaurin as Ismalta, Dan Schindler as Jerry Gaffer, Dave Leese as Frank, Steve Miller as Tower Operator, and Linda Rasmussen as The Voice. Live sound effects by Penny Swanberg, playback by Joy Jackson, sleigh bells by Joy Jackson, engineering by Ron Ailey. Thank you to Marilyn Wilt for the use of her house for the festivities. I'm Mark Whitworth, your announcer. This is ART, American Radio Theater.
Let's listen to a segment from the Christmas on the Blue from December 25, 1944.
So let's begin our two-hour show right now with Paul Whiteman and his orchestra, the Paul Taylor Chorus, and a lively Christmas carol called Deck the Halls.
Thanks, Gracie, but boy, I'm kind of worried.
Well, what's the matter, Pops? Didn't Santa Claus fill your stocking this morning?
Oh, sure he did fine in that department, Gracie. Sandy brought me lots of war bonds, and that's for me. It's filling up these 2 hours that worries me.
Why, Paul? We have lots of famous people.
That's trouble. We got too darn many. How are you ever going to get all these big names into a puny little two-hour show?
Well, the best way I know is to start introducing them as fast as we can. And first, I would like you to meet a brand new team of comedians who are going to work for Hire's Root Beer on January 24th at 10 p.m. Eastern Wartime over the Blue Network. So Christmas on the Blue gives you a preview of this new show starring Wendell Niles and Don Prindle.
Thank you very much. Merry Christmas, everybody. I'm Wendell Niles.
And I am Don Prindle.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to start our little contribution on this Christmas Day in a friendly manner. Now, to begin with, we want to know you, we want you to know us, and best of all, we want you people out there to know each other. Right, Don?
Right, Wendell. How about everybody in our audience getting acquainted with each other?
Say, that's a great idea. Now, look, we want all the men in our audience to turn to the lady next to him. That's it. Now, all right, now introduce yourself to the lady and get acquainted.
There's a sailor in every crowd.
Well, now that we're all familiar with each other. Don, how about telling the people something about ourselves, huh? They probably want to know who you are and where you came from. So what's your story, Don?
Well, there's not much to tell, Wendell.
Thank you very much, Don. Now, suppose you tell us about yourself.
Well, it's just the usual story of a genius.
I see.
Poor boy kicked around. People said I was dumb, lazy, and worthless.
Did they actually use those words?
Yes, but now those people have changed their tune.
They're still using the same words.
How true. What's your story, Wen?
Well, for the past 2 years, I've been announcing the Bob Hope Show, but if... Of course, Bob won't be with us on our show.
Yes, I read in the paper there's no hope for our program. I suppose as an announcer, Wendell, you have to have a pretty fair education. Did you go to college?
No.
High school?
No.
Grade school?
No.
Tell me when I'm getting warm.
Now, wait a minute, Don. I have proof that I went to school right here in my pocket. Now, you see this little card? That shows that I was in 3A's.
Wendell, that card happens to be from your draft board.
It is? I thought it was funny they made me get undressed in front of the principal.
Well, now that we've uncovered your past, let me say again that we're happy to be out here in Hollywood starting our new show. This Hollywood is a great place for an outdoor man.
Oh, you said it, Don. I didn't know you were an outdoor man.
Yes, I've been living outdoors for the last 6 months.
You have, huh?
I expect to find an apartment any day now. It isn't bad. Now, come right in.
Pardon me, but are you the two gentlemen who are looking for a furnished room?
Yes, we are.
Well, I'm from the Schnook Rental Agency. Now, we've been all over town, and the only thing we can find is the bridal suite at the Plaza Hotel. Mr. Niles, do you wish to take the bridal suite?
I do.
And you, Mr. Prindle, do you wish to take the bridal suite?
I do.
Very well, I now pronounce you room and bath, $5 a day.
Now, Wendell, if you'll kindly run along, I have a little Christmas story I'd like to tell all the folks.
Run along? What do you mean, Don? You're not staying out here without me. We're a team, you know, Niles and Prindle.
I just want to tell a story.
How can you act that way when we've been lifelong pals? Why do I have to make all the sacrifices?
What do you mean, make sacrifices?
Well, don't you remember we were in vaudeville together?
You mean the time we played the part of a horse?
Yes. Didn't I go to the front for you?
Yes. What a part I had.
Well, we ate, didn't we?
You're half ate. And now do you mind if I tell my Christmas story? I'm very proud of it, Wendell. I wrote it myself.
Oh, you wrote it yourself, huh? Well, has the Blue Network censor, Dorothy Brown, seen it?
No, why should the censor see it?
Well,
I don't need a censor for my story, little story.
Look, Donnie, you don't seem to understand. You're new at this racket. Now, I've been on the air a long time. You realize there are a lot of things that you can't say on the radio. Now, what if your story contains some naughty words?
I beg your pardon. I happen to be an Eagle Scout.
Oh, I'm sorry. All right, Don, I'll tell you what I'm going to do now. I'll let you read your play, but I'm going to have to censor it as you go along, because Dorothy isn't here. Now, if I hear one risque word, I'll ring my little bell. I have it right here. Now, like that. You get it?
Yes,
okay,
I see.
Okay, now you tell your story.
Okay, my story takes place on Christmas Eve. A boy and girl are riding along a country road far from the city's hustle and bustle.
Can't say bustle on the air. I'm sorry.
But I have to say... But I have to say bustle. This takes place in the backcountry.
I'm sorry, Don. Your bustle is out.
My what?
Your bustle is out.
That's just the way I'm built. I mean...
Truth. Go on with your story, Don.
Well, they're riding along country road. Suddenly, the boy stops the car.
They gotta keep riding.
Gotta keep riding. But wait a Wendell, he's out of gas.
You'll have to change it, I'm sorry.
But he hit a tree.
You'll have to change it.
He had a flat tire.
Oh, well, that's okay.
Then you change it.
Go on with your story, Don.
The young man looks around for help. Mm-hmm. Suddenly he sees bright lights and hears music coming from a cocktail bar.
No cocktail bar, please.
He hears music coming from a roadhouse.
No roadhouse.
The choir is singing Sweet Adeline. So he turns to the girl and says, do you want to dance?
No dancing, Don.
He pulls out a package of
no drinks. Smoking, sorry.
He offers her a drink.
No drinking.
All right, all right. She doesn't dance, she doesn't smoke, and she doesn't drink.
She doesn't?
No, in fact, Lloyd's will give you 10-1. She's dead. Anyway, the hero walks up to the door of the cafe and decides to step in.
I can't say step in.
I'm sorry, it was a slip.
Can't say slip.
Why can't I say slip?
Because that also comes under the censor's ban.
Underwear?
Can't say underwear, I'm sorry.
Well, you know how those things creep up on you. Yeah.
Will you please finish your story, Don?
Well, okay. Suddenly the boy hears a girl scream. A big animal is coming out of the woods.
Bear?
No, he had a hat and coat on. What kind of a... Well, the savage beast grabs the boy, crushes him in his powerful arms. He can't breathe. He stands there and pants. All right, I'll drop the pants.
Okay. No!
In the meantime, the girl is gone for help, and she comes to the rescue with a man from the FBI. Oh, for garden seed. Now I went and did it. Ring the bell.
What's the matter?
I had to go and say FBI.
Well, Don, there's nothing wrong with saying FBI.
Yes, there is, Wendell. I'm ashamed of myself, really. Do you realize that the FBI is a government bureau?
Well, sure, what of it?
Well, a bureau is a dresser. A dresser is a chiffonier. A chiffonier is a tall thing with drawers, and drawers is a naughty word.
You know, Pops, Christmas on the Blue makes me feel a little blue.
Oh, how can that be, Gracie?
Well, I'll tell you all about it, Pops. Again it is Christmas. But that never thrills me. The thought of it kills me. I tell you, it fills me with pain. It makes me remember a Christmas gone by when I was extremely upset. A night in December, an evening that I would very much rather forget. For I took my harp to a party, but nobody asked me to play. The others were jolly and hearty, but I wasn't feeling so gay. They might have said, play us a tune we can sing, but somehow I don't think they noticed the thing. I took my harp to a party, but nobody asked me to play, so I took the damn thing away. They asked Mrs. Morgan to play her mouth organ, and somebody else did a dance. They made Mrs. Carter perform a sonata, but I wasn't given a chance. A North Country person called Sandy MacPherson played bagpipes and took off his coat, while both the Miss Fawcetts bust out of their corsets in trying to take a top note. They sang Home Sweet Home and the Banks of Loch Lomond, then all the King's horses, then trees, while nephews and nieces kept playing their pieces and spreading their jam on the keys. A daughter called Lena played her concertina. We all played ridiculous games, till old Mr. Dyer set his whiskers on fire and the fire engine played on the flames. But I took my harp to a party, but nobody asked me to play, so I took the damn thing away.
A Down East Yankee Christmasing in the tropics may well yearn today for snow drifting against the stone fences of New England. But a southerner somewhere near the Arctic Circle may dream not of a white Christmas, but of poinsettias blooming in red Alabama soil and the crackle of children's firecrackers. To other frontline troops amid mud and cold and death and wounds, today we'll recall memories of warmth, of love and good cheer, of stocking-hung halves and the indescribable incense of a Christmas tree. To the millions overseas, today may well mean as many different things, for up and down this broad land of ours, Christmas is a local custom and varies like the people who make up America. It can be Christmas without Santa Claus, without a toy if the children are grown up, without a turkey dinner if there are only one or two to eat it. And mistletoe isn't very much without the right person beneath it. Christmas could be Christmas without any of these things. And overseas, there are GI Christmas parties for children in France, in England, in Iceland, in Philippines, and many another land. Somewhere in Italy, high on an Apennine hill, a pine tree glows with colored lights. Yet at home and overseas, one thing is lacking. The one thing above all else that makes a Christmas. It's the sound of a well-remembered and beloved voice saying, Merry Christmas.
This is Blue in New York saying goodbye to Paris for the time being. See you later.
We're in standby.
Right. We return you now to Hollywood.
Now we want you to meet a young comedian who has been voted the most promising star of tomorrow, who we can hear at 8:30 Tuesday night when he broadcasts for Bristol Myers. He is, of course, Alan Young. We take you now to New York.
Thank you, Gracie. Oh, Kenny Delmar.
Yes, Alan.
Yeah, Kenny, I just finished the most wonderful Christmas dinner. We had a 30-pound turkey, and I invited some fellas over from the Air Force.
Oh.
What eaters! When that turkey came in, some of them began gunning for the legs, another was gunning for the breast, another was gunning for the wings.
Yeah, what about you, Alan?
Rear gunner.
You come from Canada, Alan. What kind of Christmases do they have up there?
Oh, wonderful. I remember how on Christmas morning I walked through the living room, flung open the kitchen door, and... that aroma. The laundry steaming on the stove. I thought it smelled too good to be food. But a few months ago, I left home, Ken.
Yeah, were your parents sorry to see you go?
Oh, yeah. On the day I was leaving, my father called me over for a few parting words. He said, hey, son. He always called me hey. He said, son, you're leaving home. And it's time I was talking to you like a Dutch uncle. So, I'm flying the stoof in the roof.
Yes, of course.
Of course, he said it in Gaelic.
I see. Well, did you have a good train trip down here, Alan?
Oh, I had a compartment right at the end of the car. Wonderful compartment. There was only one thing wrong with it.
What?
Every time the train stopped at a station, the conductor locked me in.
Well, you certainly have changed since you came down here from Canada. You're not as naive as you used to be.
Oh, I'll say I'm not naive, no. In fact, last night I went up to a girl's apartment. I sat there for 2 hours with the lights turned out.
You did?
Yeah. Then she came home and turned them on, so I had to leave. But after that, I really went out stepping. I went to the store club. Hedy Lamarr sat at a table right across from me. Of course, I winked at her.
Yeah, what did she do?
What did she do? She sent a waiter over to ask me for a dance.
She did?
Yeah. He was a pretty good dancer for a waiter, too.
Happy holidays to everyone from all of us at ART. For more podcasts by ART, including some of our productions from ART's Christmas parties, please stop by our website, AmericanRadioTheater.org. Hey, thanks for listening. See you next time.